This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world. Today, we've got a new voice on Dreamland. Isabella Price is going to be talking to us about divinity, gods, goddesses, in a very deep and powerful way. She has written quite a few extraordinary books, Jesus Christ, The Love and Wisdom of a First Century Mystic, Sacred Love, Manifestations of the Goddess Across Cultures, and now Goddess Power, Awakening the Wisdom of the Divine Feminine in Your Life. And guys, don't tune this out, because this is for all of us. This is about something that we are all trying to do inside ourselves, whether we are consciously aware of it or not. Isabella, welcome to Dreamland.
Thank you so much, Whitley, and it's a great pleasure to be here with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'm really very excited about this. It's a perfectly wonderful story. You are truly a wise woman. And, you know, I think my listeners on Dreamland know that we don't really have people on this show who don't know what they're doing. and you do. And I would like to start is what for me is the most important question. One of the things that's happening as this energy, and we'll be discussing this part of it later, of the divine feminine reemerges into our world, which is happening now. And you can see manifestations of it every day on the television when one after another guy who's been hard on women gets taken down. But let's start with balance. I think that's so important here, because if the divine feminine and the divine masculine, the male, the patriarchal way and the matriarchal way, become come into conflict, we're not getting anywhere. You have some wonderful things to say about balance across the whole body of your work. Can we start by talking, how do we welcome this new energy or returning energy into our world in such a way that we have a balanced reaction to it?
Yes, that's a great question, Whitley, and of course, multi-layered, so we could go into many different aspects. Now, let's start first and foremost, how do we welcome it in? So in other words, how can we get more attuned and awaken the wisdom of the divine feminine within us, regardless of gender, as you said in the introduction? She's in all of us, in both, you know, women and men. She expresses herself, for example, in our intrinsic potential for creative expressions in whatever ways, you know, writing, painting, composing, or just, you know, recreating our lives on a daily basis. I mean, the way I understand creativity, it's all encompassing. You don't necessarily have to be a poet and an artist to express your creativity. She also expresses herself in what I call our intuition, our body wisdom. And we can all tap into that potential. So just to dispel again this, you know, misconception that I still find a lot of males feel, well, you know, as you said, the goddess is only for women, you know, well, how does she relate to me? And so it's very important to dissociate the divine feminine, the goddess, from gender. And we need to be aware that as human beings, we have the entire range of potentialities, archetypal qualities and energies available within us. The question is only, do we tap into that potential? How do we tune into that? And so to come back again, how do we make ourselves more attuned to the wisdom of the divine feminine, the goddess, so that we can carry that into the world by making our highest contributions at this critical evolutionary threshold. One thing, and I'm speaking from my own experience and my own journey here, is that it happens in silence. It happens when we breathe deeply. It happens perhaps in nature when we connect, you know, to, you know, what the scientists call the biosphere. I call it the earth. And you know, I'm really a bit of a nature mystic at heart. And I'm sure that most of our listeners have had some sorts of deep experiences in nature where we become more attuned to her wisdom. And it connects us, you know, to what the Native Americans call the first mother, you know, our earth.
Right.
And I also, of course, have engaged in many different spiritual practices, doing rituals, you know, in goddess circles, honoring the mother in all her different manifestations across the cultures and religious spectrum, which, you know, it was non-denominational, and I liked that, or engaging, you know, in meditation, prayers, invocations of the mother, perhaps even visualization, if this is an entry point for you, or just devotional practices. And, you know, I've also been blessed for the last 14 years that, you know, I always go and see one of the Holy Mothers of India, as you may know, Amaji, also known as the Hugging Saint. And I've received countless transmissions and hugs from her over the years, and it has been profoundly healing on a deep soul level, and it also made me more attuned to the energies and the wisdom of the Divine Feminine so that I could receive them more fully, together with all the practices and rituals I've been doing. So it starts there. I think we really have to open ourselves, and you know, it's more, she's more like what's in the right brain, like intuition and creativity, what I mentioned at the beginning. If we're able to also balance the left and right brain hemisphere and integrate both.
Yes.
Because, you know, in our Western culture, there's such an overemphasis on, you know, the logical, rational mind, you know, systematic thinking. And that's all fine. It's an important tool. And, you know, I come from academia, so I can certainly talk about that. But it's not the whole story. We need the integration, the balance, as you said, you know,
yes,
at the,
you know,
beginning.
I always think of them as the working mind and the playing mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn how to live in such a way that both minds have a place in our lives. And the yep. mind that plays is the one in which we get a chance to have a relationship with the divine, because as Meister Eckhart, the great 14th century theologian and philosopher, said, mm-hmm. God laughs and plays.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, mm-hmm. who passed on a couple of years ago and is still very much with me, has always in her life and in her afterlife emphasize the importance of laughter and play and joy and fun. Now, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what in the world is this horrendous conflict between the male and female? What's going on here? Why are we having such a battle over this? We'll be right back. You want to see a book with a lot of great reviews? Well, go to Amazon and take a look at The Afterlife Revolution, the new book by me and Anne, written from both sides of the bridge between the worlds. The first time anyone has ever done that. Don't believe it? Well, take a look at the foreword by Dr. Gary Schwartz, the author of The Afterlife Experiments and The God Experiments, and one of the leading experts in the world on the afterlife. Of course it's real. And what it's really about is not just the afterlife, but it's about building a strong soul in this life. We're going soul blind rapidly, forgetting our own souls. But that's the only thing about us that actually matters. And in this lovely book, and it is a lovely book, believe me, that's why it has so many great reviews. Of course, it's a terrific book. You should get a copy. Go to Amazon.com. Many, many people are kind of passing it by because, you know, they don't think about their souls or anything, but you do. You wouldn't be listening to this program. So go get the book. You can get it as a Kindle. You can get it as a paperback. And I think the audiobook should be available now, too. And listen to it or read it, and it will change your life. I guarantee you, discovering what happened after Annie passed away and writing this book with her changed my life. And if you do nothing else, listen to one of the things that she said that may be one of the most important things that I have ever heard said in this world by anybody. And she said it to me while we were working on the book. Enlightenment is what happens when all that is left of us is love. To me, that says it all. It's the path that we are all on to find our way into a new and deeper abiding love. The afterlife revolution, it will change your life. We're talking to Isabella Price, the author of a new book, Goddess Power, and of many other remarkable books. Her website is onetruth-manypaths.com. That's onetruth-manypaths.com. And it's a lovely website. It has a very welcoming feel to it. You can sign up for her email newsletter. You can follow her on Twitter, LinkedIn. There's a donation button if you're interested in that. But more importantly, there are these books and this woman's journey. She did a wonderful book about Jesus. And I would like to talk a little bit about that as part of our discussion balance, because we're not going to get into the us versus them side of this. We want to go beyond that. But before we begin to talk about Jesus, I think that we need to discuss why the goddess has been so basically trampled on in so many parts of the world, and why so many religions emphasize the male, including Christianity, as it is practiced in modern times in some of the churches, like the Catholic Church and Islam also. What is going on here, Isabella?
Yeah, that's also a very complex and multi-layered, but very interesting question. Well, where to start? So basically, as you said, organized religion, and that applies to all religious systems, not just to the Abrahamic faith traditions, have become increasingly patriarchal over time for many, many reasons on which I can't go into details. But basically, that development started roughly in the first millennium BC, when you look at, you know, scripture, the Torah, where the prophets would always warn, you know, the Hebrew man to go and worship the Canaanite fertility goddesses in the temples. You know, God forbid they would do that. So, and then eventually when monotheism, you know, the belief in the one and only God was firmly established at the end of the 7th century BC, then, of course, you know, the goddess worship was completely oppressed. All the temples were closed. And then when we move into the time of Christianity, well, you mentioned Jesus Christ. It's actually very interesting that first off, Jesus Christ himself, as you know, was very, very all-inclusive, and he was actually the last real friend of the female gender, according to theologians. You know, he talked to outcasts, you know, women who, you know, were perceived as being prostitutes, you know, or committed adultery, and he had a good balance of the archetypal masculine and feminine energies within him. In fact, he had the perfect balance and integration of both, which we could also refer to as the sacred marriage within us. This is how I see it. So, and also, what a lot of people don't know, you know, in Aramaic, which was the language of Jesus Christ, the word for God was actually, Ad Wun Bosh Maya, which means God as a parent. So God as both the father and the mother, and not God exclusively as this, transcendental sky father, archetypal father, as, later on it has come down to us through organized religion. And in early Christianity, as you probably know, there was a great diversity, with different groups, with, like the Gnostics, for example, and women had, leadership positions. They were allowed to spread the gospel, the good news. They helped in, organizing the communities, the Christian communities that were forming. And then later on, starting in the second century CE, women were increasingly displaced and not allowed to take on leadership positions in the newly emerging church. And it became increasingly an institution managed exclusively by men. And that has, of course, then continued on. And when Christianity became a state religion later in the third and fourth century, then, women had absolutely, no more say, within that institution. And then we have the whole tradition of the church fathers and their perception of gender is... Well, I could say for perhaps
you've got a lot to say, but you know what we have to do now is
misogynistic. Just to say it outright.
Right. What we have to do now is we have to take another little brief break. Our last break in the show. Free Dreamlanders, listen up to these announcements.
Listen to some words from one of our longtime subscribers.
As a subscriber of Dreamland for many years, it's been an incredible adventure and truly a Rosetta Stone for so many of the experiences that all of your listeners have had. Please join us. It's a fantastic ride. But I will say that certainly Dreamland does reflect something that I've always known, that man's mind mirrors a universe that mirrors man's mind. And no other place will you get this truth than on Dreamland. Come join us.
Some of the most thrilling, mind-opening interviews ever recorded are in the Dreamland Archive. Open your mind to Sir Lawrence Gardner's brilliant vision of the past. Listen to Russell Targ's phenomenal insights about ESP. Be inspired by Dr. Eben Alexander's stunning near-death experience. Listen to an actual recording from a plane as it was attacked by a gigantic flying disc. Be transported to a new level of inner grace with Whitley Strieber's Meditations. Enjoy The Communion, Transformation, Majestic, Secret School, and Superstorm audiobooks, and so much more. The UnknownCountry.com subscriber section. As little as 10 cents a day. Priceless.
Aloha, Jeremy Vaney here, and I want to tell you about my latest undertaking, OurUndoing.com. OurUndoing.com is a multimedia website where if you watch, if you read, if you listen, without trying to absorb knowledge like we do with normal learning, and without the normal judgmental filters that we use to compare and contrast so-called spiritual knowledge, if we watch, if we read, if we listen, without all of that, we may just wake up to our full human nature. That is what this website is for. It's not about what we're doing, it's about who we are, truly are, when we're off the pendulum of duality. If your life is about seeking truth above all else, look no further. Join me at OurUndoing.com.
We're talking to Isabella Price. Her new book, Goddess Power, her website, www.onetruth-manypaths.com. The world is right now in need of strong, loving presence and guidance. Now, in the past, we have had an enormous struggle because there was a time when the divine feminine was in our world where the divine masculine is now. And I want to know from you, this is going to be kind of a roundabout way of exploring how to get past this conflict inside oneself, because the conflict in the world is going to go on. There will be that. We're not going to change that, but there is a way to become open to the sacred inside yourself that accepts the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And I want to start by asking you your definition of what a deity is.
Well, okay, so that touches upon many different aspects. So, well, what is a deity? That, do you mean what is God, or in this case, what is the goddess, the divine feminine?
When I sit down to open my heart to the sacred, who am I addressing? Am I addressing an actual god or goddess that's somewhere in the universe? Or some part of my inner self, or something else? It's a very difficult question. I don't expect you to answer this in a simple yes or no, well, this god or that god. But we have all of these visualizations of deities that we pray to, that we have in our lives. Many of us have very, very much living relationships with deities.
Yes.
And, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So, let me perhaps start by saying, well, first off, we all have our unique spiritual journeys. And, but ultimately, it doesn't matter how you do perceive, you know, the great mystery in which we all move and live and have our being. It may that be, you know, in the form of a, you know, feminine divine mother, or may that be just totally transcendental, because here is the thing, the divine, or, you know, deities, God is both form and formless, immanent, infusing all of creation and existence, and at the same time transcending all of creation. And, you know, some people are more comfortable with visualization of, you know, an icon, so they need a form as a gateway, but we always have to also think that, of course, the divine ultimately is transcendent, and that applies, you know, to the divine feminine as well. The goddess is form, but she's also an energy, a cosmic vital energy that is referred to as Shakti in Hinduism, or Sanatana Dharma, and she's the creative evolutionary impulse, and perhaps I can then talk a little bit more about that. But to come back to your question, yes, it is within us. We are that. We are intrinsically divine being. What we truly are in our essence is exactly that. It's divine. We do have this potential. We are loving awareness. We are loving presence. It's just that more often than not, this gets cluttered up by all these layers of social cultural conditioning, partly through organized religion, partly, of course, through all the noise and you know, what we hear, you know, in more mainstream-oriented media, with all the misinformation that's literally raining down of us, the barrage, you know. It comes from, of course, the control and domination system that wants to keep us disempowered psycho-spiritually. So we have to break through all of that and see who we truly are, and tune in deeply into that core essence, you know, call it our true self, our divine self.
How would we go about that? How would we, practically speaking, I want to do that. What do I do?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think to really tune in more deeply into that true essence of who we are intrinsically, we need to engage in some sort of spiritual practices. I mean, I've always been a great promoter. I've been a meditator for, oh gosh, the last 15 years or so, and I just, whatever practice works for you, I mean, there's many different types of meditation. I also taught, you know, meditation for a few years to veterans, you know, with post-traumatic stress disorder, and we've really seen the amazing healing results. So if you're really serious and committed to evolve psycho-spiritually, I just feel that we need to have some sort of practice. Again, meditation or prayer or, you know, just spending time in nature, in silence, where we go deep within and just breathing. The breath is really the divine breath, the breath of life, the breath of the mother, as I see it. And it's the first thing that a newborn baby does, you know, when it comes out of the mother's womb. We're all, you know, part of the cosmic womb of the divine mother, her matrix. And what does the baby do? Well, it takes a deep breath that connects us to the source, you know, that cosmic intelligence, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it. These are all labels and concepts, but it's the great ultimate mystery, and we have to be humble about that. We cannot know the definite answers.
Yeah, we have to be humble about it. That's right. And of course, in my life and in the lives of many of the people who are listening to this show, we've had contact with something that can be very physical. I have contact with it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it started in my life, mm-hmm, as a manifestation of the divine feminine, very definitely, mm-hmm, and became the most powerful central force of my life. Uh-huh. And I've been fascinated by the fact that at times, this manifestation, the divine, the sacred, can emerge physically, because it's happened in my life. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about all of these different apparitions of the gods and goddesses that have taken place all through history, I'm certainly not the only one with that experience. What do you think we are talking about? Because the power part of your book's title is really about, mm-hmm, manifesting things in your life. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm, why don't we, mm-hmm, talk about that process of, mm-hmm, manifesting? Mm-hmm. Can you talk to that?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Yes, absolutely, given that I've walked this path for the last, 10 plus years. Yes, manifestation, bringing it into physical form, is absolutely key, especially at this critical evolutionary threshold that we find ourselves as humanity. And we can only manifest if we awaken the wisdom of the divine feminine in our life and apply it. Because, again, I believe that, you know, the mother, let's call it the great cosmic mother, is really the impulse behind all manifestation. She's the one who drives evolution. She's the vital impulse of creation, of all that's being created. And when you manifest something into physical existence, you are a creator, or a co-creator, I should say, with the divine, with the mother now in this case. It's a co-creative dance. So we have to awaken to this energy, to this intrinsic potential within us, so that we can step it up and contribute, doing, you know, our work in alignment with our dharmic purpose, what we came to do for. And we cannot bring this into manifestation unless we harness these energies. And just to kind of take it also a little bit on the collective level, because, you know, earlier you asked me, you said, well, you know, how can we address this dysfunction, this imbalance between, you know, the masculine and feminine? And I mean, we see it not just, you know, sometimes in our individual lives being played out, but we see it in the collective at large with, you know, this major crisis and challenges that we have, and that I believe are actually a consequence of what I call the unhealthy masculine, or, you know, the hyper masculine. And these are, you know, paradigms, you know, such as domination, control, competition, conquest, hierarchical or authoritarian structure, and the whole fragmentation, which means dualistic thinking. I see myself as being separate from you and everything else. And this is also an expression of these unhealthy patriarchal structures that are now being played out on steroids. Right, and they're, all over.
They're unhealthy because they're not balanced. It's not that the divine masculine is in any way wrong. It's a terribly important part of the world.
Absolutely.
But the concentration on this and the rejection of the divine feminine is a problem. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the actual manifestation of masculine divinity, which is itself is incredibly beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. And here is, you're hitting on something. Here is where I'm actually trying to go with all of that, all these paradigms and the whole dysfunction on the political level, economic inequality, social conflicts. This, I believe, all this chaos is actually part of how evolution works. And evolution is the mother. Again, it's Shakti. It's that cosmic vital energy that works through all this chaos to eventually birth something new into being or into manifestation, to use your term. So I believe that it is the mother now, in this case, especially the dark skinned mother goddesses. I could mention perhaps two specific examples, who is at work behind all the chaos, which doesn't make sense to our rational mind. But this is precisely how the dark skinned mother works and what she symbolizes. She shatters our rational concepts and assumptions and expectations. She shatters them so that we can get more into our right brain and find, a healthier balance and integration of both our brain hemispheres. And so given that she is Shakti, the evolutionary impulse of creation and manifestation, she works through all that chaos. And when you really look at what's happening individually within us and collectively, you probably also notice that there's a lot of emotional stuff coming up now, unprocessed emotions and fears all over the planet. It plays itself out on a daily basis. All the shadow issues, to use a term from, Carl Jung, the Swiss psychoanalyst, all the unprocessed shadow issues individually and collectively are just coming to the surface, like, sexism, racism, Islamophobia. I mean, the list goes on, and it's being played out. And, the Me Too movement is another expression of it. You mentioned it earlier. And this happens so that we get to see this cosmic mirror. We get to see what has not yet been healed within ourselves, what has not yet been properly dealt with. And entire nations, like you can start with our country, have to come to terms with that. And I believe it is the mother who's behind all of that, so that we can look at our worst fears, we can face them rather than denying them and bypassing them, which doesn't work, as but really facing them, working through them, so that eventually we can let go and heal ourselves. And I believe what we witness now are the birth pangs. All the chaos is the birth pangs, and they are extremely painful and excruciating to witness. And we also have to go to our own crucible. But healing can only occur if we go through the process. And I do believe that these birth pangs precede transformation, that something new will eventually emerge from that. And again, it's just we have to trust, that there is this higher cosmic intelligence that's at work here. I do have that trust, but I know it's hard, and perhaps not everybody can relate to that. But I do firmly believe, that this is going to happen.
Well, that's a very good place to end the first half of the show. Isabella's book is Goddess Power, Awakening the Wisdom of the Divine Feminine in Your Life. She's also written a number of other quite marvelous books, particularly one on Jesus that we haven't talked about, but which is what I've seen of it. I haven't read the full book yet. Is a very wise and beautiful vision of that extraordinary being who came into our world. Her website is www.onetruth-manypaths.com. You can sign up there for her newsletter, but above all, you can get Goddess Power. Mm-hmm. It is not a rejection, and this is why one of the reasons she's on the show, of God power at all, but a way into a balanced relationship with the sacred. And this is so needed. Because as soon as we reject one or the other, we're actually rejecting mm-hmm. a part of ourselves that is sacred and has relationship to the divine. Free Dreamlanders, thank you very much for being with us. I do urge you to subscribe and support the site. But if that's not your choice, it's not your choice. Subscribers, we're keeping right on.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host, and I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander. Thank you for listening.